we're going to call this meeting to order. Are there any public comments before we get started? Any public comments?
If not.
Angel, call the roll.
Mr. Gwynn?
Here.
Mr. McLeod?
Here.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Here.
Mr. Musley?
Here.
Mr. Owen?
Here.
Ms. Rich?
Okay, we are going to discuss the budget format. Cindy?
Madam President, I'm going to go ahead and take lead with your permission.
Okay.
Thank you, council members, for the opportunity to engage you in the first of many work meetings to take place over the next 2 months or so on our fiscal year 13-14 annual budget. Today's meeting is really going to be a high-altitude overview of the budget's format, setting the stage for the discussions that are to follow at subsequent meetings. Before we begin, I want to make council aware that please stop us at any time, ask questions, inquire for clarifications. This is your meeting, and we want to make absolutely sure that we get your questions, your issues addressed during these meetings. There'll be two presentations. I'm going to give the first one, called Ocala City Fiscal Year 2014 Budget, Setting the Stage. And then I'll be followed by Cindy Kelly, who will give one entitled, and I believe there's a copy on each of your desks, June 4th, 2013, Budget Workshop Number 1, 13-14 Fiscal Year Budget Format. Okay? So if there's no questions at this time, I'm going to go ahead and proceed and give the first of the two presentations. If I can invite you to look at the screen as I take you through this. Briefly, the overview for my presentation is I'm going to review with you the Great Recession and the impact it's had upon our community, our organization. I'm going to show you that we were, in essence, at the epicenter of that Great Recession. I'm going to talk about a post-recessionary wake. I'm going to talk a little bit about the ongoing fiscal challenges that we still face. Talk about past strategies that we've implemented to close budget gaps. And then talk about strategies moving forward. So this is old news, really, but it's still very much real, still very much in front of us, the recession, the Great Recession. There have been 11 recessions since the Great Depression. This recession that began in the fall of 2008 is distinguishable in two different ways. First, of course, is not only the length of the recession, but the depth. No recession has ever been this lengthy or this depth in terms of just how bad it really has been. And so to kind of show you what I mean by the impacts of that recession, I share with you some data. The first is a state comparison of data in 2010 of unemployment rates. You can see that Nevada had the highest unemployment rates, 14.9%, followed by California. And then, of course, Florida had the undubious distinction of having 12.0%. Foreclosure rates were another indice that we were tracking closely during this recession. As you know, it took target at the housing market, the manufacturing market. And Florida also had the undubious distinction of coming in third here in foreclosure rates. One home in 18 was dealing with a foreclosure situation. If we were to drill down now, look at a Florida county comparison. There are 67 counties in the state. If you look at the unemployment rate in 2010, you had Henry, Indian River, Flagler, Hernando, followed by Marion at number 5. The foreclosure rates, Marion County came in at number 13 of the 67 counties in the state of Florida. This graph here is showing you a history of the unemployment rates, comparing the United States unemployment rate from 2003 to 2013 with Florida's unemployment rate, and of course contrasting that in turn with Ocala's unemployment rate. And you can see during the peak of the recession, beginning in the fall of 2008, lasting through the first part of 2010, Ocala's unemployment rate was greater than that of the state average or the United States or the U.S. average. These next two slides are slides that we utilized in our all-hands conference. And What we're attempting to show you here is our employment sector as identified in this pie chart. And what we're doing is dividing it by percentage, the employment or the economic sectors within the Marion County, Ocala, Metropolitan Statistical Area. Take particular note at the manufacturing and the mining, logging, and construction. You'll see these on the upper right-hand side of that pie graph. These two sectors of our industry have always been the bread and butter, the main staples. We've always had a strong manufacturing basis, and in turn, we've also had a strong construction basis. You'll notice that in 2012, both the construction and manufacturing saw fairly steep declines as measured here in percentage rates in those two particular sectors. And again, this is no secret. We saw this literally transform in front of our eyes as the Great Recession took its toll upon us. So realizing what was upon us, we initiated, and I say we, the council and staff working together in a partnership, identified seven initiatives to achieve a balanced budget. And those initiatives included the following, seven initiatives. The first one was a 911 communications consolidation. And as you know, that was completed. That was with the fire 911 consolidation. We also incorporated blended budget cuts of 6%, and that was also accomplished. We were able to refinance a debt that we had, and that was also been accomplished several months ago. We implemented a program called Blueprint to Fiscal Sustainability, and this program at its heart was aimed at trying to engage employees at all levels, employees in all ranks, to assist us in trying to identify ideas for saving costs, achieving efficiencies, or economies of scale. We also, as part of this initiative, created five committees made up of subject matter experts. We had a uniforms committee, which is reported out. We had a duplication committee, which is also reported out. Three committees are still engaged in this important work. We have a revenue enhancement committee, an urban renewal committee, which you heard a report on at the last work meeting, I believe. And we also have a program called SMART, which we are going to share with you more about during the regular meeting to follow this one. And that work is still ongoing. We had the VCIF program, which was accomplished late last summer in the fall. We looked at adjusting our interfund transfers. That was also accomplished. And we also had, as part of those seven initiatives, pension reform. And of course, as you know, that is underway as we speak. But even though the recession has really moved on, we're still kind of in this recessionary wake. The water is still kind of churning, still a lot of confusion, not a whole lot of clarity in terms of where we're heading. And in fact, there's a lot of organizations still challenged by this post-recessionary wake. And I'm sure that you've seen these headlines over the last week. Some of our sister organizations, Marion County School District, lays off 216 employees. This was on Thursday, May 30th. CF eliminates 28 positions. This is also on Thursday, May 30th. Sheriff describes fiscal crisis at his agency. This is an article that came out on Wednesday, May 22nd. So you can see that this post-recessionary wake, it is still causing a lot of challenges for a lot of organizations. And so let me show some more data. This is the same type of comparison, but with data for 2013. And the unemployment, of course, the situation has gotten better. Florida went from number 5 to number 31, which is a big improvement. In the foreclosure rates, Florida, unfortunately, has moved up one. But even though it's moved up, the rate has actually gone down. It's now only one home in every 363. It's still serving as a challenge for the state of Florida. Again, drilling down, looking at the counties, 67 counties of the state of Florida. The unemployment, Marion has again improved. We're now at number 9 at 7.5%. Unfortunately, though, foreclosures have increased, not increased, but in terms of our placement in the ranks, we've increased to number 2. One house in every 225 homes still facing a foreclosure situation. This graph here is showing you our taxable values from the period of 2004 through 2013. You'll notice under year 2008, the taxable values peaked. And since then, they have been on a fairly precipitous decline to what you see now in 2013. We hope and we believe that next year's property values will be flat. We'll see no more decline, and we're kind of, if you will, starting to carve off and getting to the bottom of this valley, hoping maybe in subsequent years we might see an uptick. But you can see clearly that our taxable values have been down for the last 6 years. And this is significant because a large part of our funding, of course, is driven by taxable values, property tax. So let's talk about our ongoing fiscal challenges. And there's really two challenges that we face. First and foremost is that we have flat or declining revenues. And secondly, we have increasing expenditures. So let's talk about that very briefly. This graph is showing you the history of the city's top three general fund revenues. Ad valorem, transfers from enterprises, and utility service taxes. You'll notice in at least two of the three that we're showing ongoing declines from fiscal year 2007 through fiscal year 2013. The third one there, utility service taxes, has kind of flattened out, it is very flat there. I've taken the liberty to add a trend line for all three of those. And you can see that the trend line over the last 5-6 years is trending down still. We're confident, optimistic, however, that we'll see a flattening of that, believing that maybe we're at the valley bottom and maybe see some uptick in the near future. But you can see that our top three general fund revenues are trending down and have been for a number of years. Conversely, as you know, is that our costs, particularly our pension costs, are precipitously climbing. In 2005 and 2006, our annual retirement contribution was $6.4 million. This past year, it is nearing $17 million. So on one hand, we have declining revenues. On the other hand, of course, we have this precipitous climb in pension costs, which is proving to be a very difficult challenge to address. And that's really illustrated well here on this graph, entitled Operating Revenues versus Expenses. You can see that revenues between the years 2009 through about 2012 has been fairly flat, fairly even through those years. But expenses, operating expenses, have generally been higher than our operating revenues. And despite our efforts to reduce expenses, despite our efforts to achieve economies of scale, despite our efforts to grow revenues, we still have this gap that we're trying to address. These issues are not solely a general fund issue. You'll see here a graph that shows you the kilowatt hour sales history for our electric enterprise fund. Our kilowatt hour sales are actually less today than what they were in 2001. And they've been on a decline, a fairly slow decline since their peak in 2006 and 2007. The same story can be said for water sales. You can see that sales now are a little bit less than they were in 2001. And they've generally been on a decline since about the 2007 year. So again, these impacts have not been solely those of the general fund. They've had broader impacts to other funds within the city's portfolio. So how have we closed this gap in the past? What are the strategies that have we used in the past to close that gap? Well, in 2011 and 2012, we had a $4 million gap. We had a $4 million difference between projected revenues and anticipated expenditures. And in that year, what we did is we leveraged $4 million of general fund reserves. And you might recall recently when the external auditor came forward, he indicated that we had only used about $2.5 million of those reserves, which is a tremendous positive for us. And that came about only because of the hard work of staff, looking at ways, again, of cutting costs, be more efficient, trying to achieve economies of scale. And my hat's off to all the staff who have had a key role in that. Well, things got a bit more dicey last year. In fact, incredibly difficult. Last year, our initial estimate for the gap was $8.9 million. And through a lot of conversations with departments, through trying to reduce costs, we got it down to $4.5 million. Interestingly enough, just kind of a side story, I was at a meeting with Mark Mondale, and we were listening to a speaker, Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin. And he was talking about his state was facing a $3.5 million budget deficit in their general fund. And he explained that he has a population of about 5 million. Well, I turned to Mark and I said, you know what, we've got a $8.9 million gap, and I've got a population of about 55 million.
I think he was, his was with a B, I'm sure.
No, it was million. It was million. Yeah, Mark turned to me and he says, he's an amateur. So, needless to say, our challenge has been great last year. And the strategies that we utilized in closing that gap included offloading expenses, particularly to the Police Trust and Agency Fund. That was about $450,000. We also offloaded some expenses for Capital Replacement Fund. That was about $480,000. We did some reorganization, which allowed us to move some cost into the Stormwater Fund, I think some Enterprise Fund, if I remember correctly. We did a transfer from the Police and Fire 1/8 Mill Fund. You might recall the majority of that came from funds that we had dedicated to the firehouse, and we moved back into the general fund to help transfer the gap, to close the gap. And of course, we also increased the transfers from some of the enterprise funds in order to close the $4.5 million gap. You'll notice we didn't utilize any reserves in 2012-2013 because council's instructions to staff was that they are off limits. You can no longer use those in fiscal year 12 and 13 to close that gap. So strategies going forward, we still have a gap. We still have about a $4 to $4.5 million gap. Our strategies going forward is again to incorporate blended budget cuts. And we are seeing some slight impacts on service levels as we find ourselves reducing staff and reducing resources. We are looking at monitoring callable debt, looking at additional refinancing opportunities. And when those opportunities arise, we'll jump on them. We are continuing the blueprint to fiscal sustainability, where we are engaging staff at every level, utilizing subject matter experts to help us find ways to be more efficient, more productive. We're looking at interfund transfers, looking at ways in which maybe the enterprise funds can help support the general fund in this particular time. We also are trying to complete, of course, the pension reform initiative. And we're well underway in the general fund, or the general employees, looking also in the future at police and fire, possibly as other pension reform initiatives. We are looking at continuing our strategic hiring freeze and reorganizations. And possibly, and Cindy's going to talk about this more with you in just a little bit, utilization of reserves this year, and we'll make an argument for that in just a little bit. So do you have any questions on the presentation that I've given in terms of setting the stage? All right, Cindy.
Thank you, Matt. Some of what you're going to hear in my presentation is kind of a reiteration of some of the things that Matt talked about. We're just going to get into a little bit more detail. And today we're just looking for some direction from council related to the overall strategies that we're intending to use to balance the budget going forward. This is a reminder for council of the many workshops that we have planned throughout the summer. We're using a similar format as we have in years past, where we're taking the budget and breaking it up into different pieces so that we can examine each one individually. Today is our format workshop. Our next workshop is at the end of June, which will be our capital projects and our replacement and renewal workshop. That is a Thursday, so that council is aware that's a Thursday at 11:30. All of the other workshops, the 9th, the 23rd, and the 13th, are all regular Tuesday workshops on an off week. As we did last year, we're going to have separate documents for each workshop and separate documents for the public hearings. We will disseminate them electronically as we did last year. You guys will get the little drive that we handed out last year with your document on it the Friday prior to the Tuesday workshop. As in years past, the fiscal managers, department heads will be available for questions that are related specifically to their areas in the budget as we go through the different departments. All of the budgetary decisions, we've made an attempt to tie all of the programming back to one of council's four strategic goals that were adopted in January. And Matt kind of gave an overview of the current fiscal year and some of the things that we accomplished. The blueprint of fiscal sustainability is ongoing. The 911 consolidation was accomplished. The pension reform is ongoing. The debt refinancing, we actually have another opportunity in the current year in July. We will be coming forward with the debt refinancing. The voluntary separation incentive program was accomplished. We use a blended budget cuts of up to 6%, and then we use the interfund transfers. Some of the differences between the current year and the ensuing budget year is you will see some departmental fee increases be presented for adoption with the budget. We have several departments that have fees for services, so we are adjusting those fees to be commensurate with the cost of providing the service. The key management practices we will be reviewing to ensure that everything is still working for us. And then we are exploring migration to the state chart of accounts for our revenues. If council will recall, in the FY12 budget, we migrated to the state chart of accounts for expenditures, and now we're undertaking that on the revenue side of the house. Looking at 14, what the departments were requested to do was to submit us 3% and 6% budget reduction scenarios. So we have gone through those scenarios, and we've kind of used a blended mix of those reductions to help in balancing the budget. Pension reform savings will be taken into account in balancing the budget should we have an ordinance adopted prior to October 1. The debt refinancing will happen over this summer, so we will realize those savings on our debt payments in fiscal year 14. The interfund transfers, we are reviewing those for adequacy. At this time, we plan to probably keep them steady at the increased level that they're at now. And we continue to look to our blueprint committees for further ideas. And the Urban Service Renewal Committee did report out to you at the last council meeting, and the Revenue Enhancement Committee's work is still ongoing. The initiatives we have in progress, I talked about the 3% and the 6%, and we've already incorporated most of those in. The debt refinancing is incorporated. The changes that you'll see with interfund transfers, if you'll recall, in the current year, we had a $2.6 million transfer. $1 million of that was from the police side of that fund. It was in reserves that had been built up on the police side. The other 1.6 was from the fire station, so we unencumbered those funds, so we moved a total of 2.6 into the general fund. Looking forward into fiscal year 14, we are looking at the potential of unencumbering the remainder of the dollars from the fire station fund and transferring it into the general fund, which would be about $2.4
million. If we did the $2.4 million, how much would be left in that fund?
If we do the $2.4 million, we will have left between $500,000 and $600,000 in that fund.
So we're pretty much watching it out.
Yes. And then we'll have the new collections that come in fiscal year 14. We collect around $800,000 a year. Some of the different items that we'll look at today is the trim process, fees and taxes, our revenue for projections for 14, the community redevelopment area and what the different funding priorities are there, our capital improvement plan funding, the current general fund deficit, and ideas for employee recognition. Looking at the trim process, we did get our preliminary estimate from the property appraiser's office. And as Matt had indicated earlier, the decline has stopped in the property values. We are expecting our mill to be at 3.5 again as it was in the current year. So we would be recommending the rollback rate when we come to council with recommendations for the general fund. So we're happy to see that we didn't have a further decline. This is the first year that we haven't had one in a number of years. So we're hoping that this is a sign of better things to come. From the fee and tax perspective, the city is striving to maintain the current established service levels for the citizens with the reductions that have been put in place over the last few years. We presently don't have any tax increases programmed into any of our scenarios. We talked about the departmental service fee increases that will be designed to cover the cost of service delivery. The fire fee will remain at the current level for both residential and commercial. And the comprehensive fee schedule that we do each year will be part of the budget process. Again, council will get a full fee schedule with the budget document for adoption.
And will we see what the previous fees are, and so we can compare that and see which ones have been increased?
That's correct. We'll do a side-by-side for you of current year and then the proposed, and any changes will be highlighted, so they'll be immediately obvious to you.
Also, could part of that also be the revenues that are collected from those fees? For example, you know, whatever the fee is, then how much revenue we collected over the past year in that fee, and then what we're projecting that we're going to collect with the new fee schedule?
We can do that for you.
Okay, that'd be great.
Would you like it for all funds or just a general fund?
For any fees that are being increased.
And we will do, the utilities are undergoing rate studies at the present time, and so we do expect to have fee increases for the utilities. I don't know that those will be accomplished throughout the summer. They might come online later, but you guys will have full workshops on, you know, rate studies for the utilities. Looking at some of the revenue projections for next year, we expect a slight decrease in our CDBG dollars. Most of our tax revenues, sales tax, communications, those types of taxes are state revenue sharing. We expect all of those to remain relatively flat year over year. We are anticipating a reduction in our gas tax, and that will be a direct result of the outcome of the ongoing deliberations with the county over how those gas taxes are shared. If we go to the default formula, the $1.8 million is the approximate reduction that we will see in the gas tax fund. Just for council's information, at the present time, that $1.8 million is spent on debt service, and we have made our last debt service payment in April. So it is not an immediate impact in 2014, because we were not spending that on other things, but our capital plan did project to use that. So basically, we've just canceled projects that we were going to do. We have programmed all the transfers from the enterprise funds to remain at the same level as in the current year. We talked about canceling the fire station to transfer the remaining balance of that into the general fund. And that would be a one-time revenue source, as Ms. Heimbuckle indicated, but will kind of be tapped out in that fund after this year. On the economic front, if we have any recovery of dollars from that program, those would just roll back into the Economic Development Fund for future projects. And we do expect a modest increase in growth of new business and building throughout the city, but we're budgeting very conservatively. We're not budgeting large increase.
That's a question too. Back up, if we have program transfers from enterprise funds at the same level. Is that the same dollar amount level, or is that a percentage of something?
It's the same dollar amount. We kept the dollar amount flat.
All right.
Looking at the CRA, we have a fund balance of approximately 3.6. We bring in around $400,000 annually. We have a few projects in our CRA that are ongoing, and we have negotiated demolitions of blighted structures. We have a facade grant program, the downtown signage, the wayfinding program, the Imagine North MAG program. There has been discussion of doing the Midtown or the Gaslight District out of the CRA fund. We have one salary that's paid out of there, which is our senior manager of redevelopment. And there is a new project that council heard about in a workshop sitting with Ocala Development. They're looking to build a hotel with some type of conference center and potentially a city-funded parking structure. We don't have all of the figures yet. We are still working through that six-month period of investigating and figuring all that out. So we have a lot of requests and not a lot of dollars. So, and this is kind of the same position we were in this time last year with the CRA, with a lot of requests and not a lot of dollars. So all of this will have to come back to council for decisions on how best to spend, you know, the limited funds we have within the CRA. And we do know that when the appropriate appraiser gave us his estimates, Ocala overall was flat as far as the value, but the special districts and the CRAs did decline further in their value. So the revenues are still not picking up in the CRA fund. So if council has preferences, you know, we would like to know what those preferences are for what we would look at funding in the CRA funds.
I think we've got some big decisions to make there. I don't see how you go forward with a major gaslight district improvement and also build a parking garage to facilitate the downtown hotel. That's just the elephant in the room.
Yeah, there is not adequate funding to do both projects.
Right. So we'll do one or the other. Not to decide that today, but sometime.
Yeah, and you know, the gaslight district is on the other side of the street, and there's a lot of things that would have to happen with Mr. Murphy. You know, on that property, the hotel is kind of ready to go. The bank is not being auctioned now. It's off the auction list. And there is someone that's about ready to buy that. So if we partnered with them to build the garage and partner with the, you know, hotel, you know, that would cause the other thing to happen across the street. I mean, I've always said this, one thing's going to, you know, lead to another, but you got to do steps 1, 2, 3 before you start jumping to 7 and 8. And sometimes we jump to step 7 and 8 before we take care of 1 and 2.
I just might want to mention that whether we do the gaslight district or not, recall we still have that contract obligation to meet the parking lots of Ansiphon.
Yeah. Right.
And I would agree, Council Musley, and I realize we do have the obligations there, but which we do need to fulfill. So
hopefully it's not 1.4 million.
1.2.
Well,
there you go, Mr. Musley, wish granted. Related to CIP, the council floated a bond back in 2007, our capital improvement revenue certificates. The proceeds of that bond will run out at the end of 2014. And that is a source that we have been using to do many of the projects that we have ongoing. So that is a consideration for council that post-2014, we no longer have any dedicated funding sources for capital improvement projects. And we did have project requests in the current year that did exceed our available fund balances, and we have met with the departments and pared those back so that they fit within the parameters of our available funding. Another consideration that council will be asked to make a decision on relates to our capital replacement fund. If council will recall, in 2010, we made the decision to use the capital replacement fund for three specific things: for replacement of the fleet, upkeep of our facilities, and replacement of our IT needs. And we split that fund 60-20-20. The fund balance in that fund is dwindling. We have not funded or transferred any money into that fund, and it'll be 5 fiscal years. So the available funds are very small. We held the line in the current year. If council will recall, we did not approve any fleet replacements at all in fiscal year 13, so that we could stretch it another year. So we are now to the point where some of our equipment is aged to the point where we really need to have replacements, and some of our facilities are needing repairs. So what we have done is in 14, the enterprise funds will actually transfer the necessary dollars to cover the expenditures that they will have into that capital replacement fund. So what that does in essence is buy us another year of that fund where the general fund doesn't have to kick in money for police and fire and recreation and parks and all those other entities that would require funding. So that's kind of a stopgap.
What is the fund level of that fund at this point?
At this point, we're at around $6.5 million, I believe, is the fund balance in the fund.
Okay.
The same problem is with several of our projects being multi-phased. We have several larger projects that are broken up into phases. So for out years of larger projects, we do not have adequate funding to do phases 2 or 3 or, you know, ongoing funding. So that is something that we will have to kind of grapple with as we go through the budget process. And as council is aware, most of our CIP revenue sources are one-time funding sources, so they're non-recurring in nature. The enterprises are facing similar issues. They have bond funds that are dwindling. They have a couple of more years ahead of them before those bond funds run out, because as growth slowed, their need to build things slowed with it, so they can stretch those out a little bit further. So we're presently exploring potential options for funding our capital replacement fund and other CIP needs. We're looking at different methodologies of ways to institute kind of a level funding method so that we have a similar percentage transferred into the fund each year, so that it's not kind of a shock to the system for the different funds, you know, year over year transferring funds. Looking specifically at the general fund, we've made a couple of assumptions. We have included so far the $2.4 million transfer from the Fire Police Improvement Fund. We have assumed that we levied the rollback rate for ad valorem purposes. We are requesting utilization of excess reserves, and we'll talk about that in a minute, to balance the budget. And we are assuming that revenues remain flat. Non-departmental operating and transfers to other funds remain flat. The budget doesn't presently include grant expenses because a majority of those are brought on post-adoption via resolution. We included the currently approved special request list. All of the new position increase and upgrade requests are not yet included in the budget.
What are approved special requests?
When a department has a special need that is outside of their normal operating, if they need to make a particular operating purchase that would be a one-time purchase, they submit it as a special request because it's not part of their normal ongoing operating costs.
Okay. So those all have been approved?
Yes. All the ones that are approved are included in the budget.
Okay.
We've included increased pension costs, and it does not include our expected reduction in health insurance rates. We have an insurance committee that's meeting, and we expect to have some reductions in our insurance rates.
Actually, let me clarify. We actually have an increase of 19%, but we've been able to effectuate a decrease to the general fund's cost, and so we'll present that to you as well.
And that will be on our forthcoming agenda, so yeah, we'll be able to get that into the budget. So with all of that, this is where the general fund deficit, if you will, currently stands. We are at a $3.5 million deficit revenue to expense, and that includes all the enterprise fund transfers and the transfer of $2.4 million from the police and fire fund. We have a couple of options of how we'll deal with the deficit going forward. If council will recall, Matt mentioned that when we did our audit for 2012, we did not use the full $4.5 million in reserves that we anticipated. So we carried that forward into 13 and is now sitting in our reserve for contingencies. Council has two reserves. You have your reserve for fund balance, which is the 20% of expenditures that you're required to keep. And that's fully funded and we don't touch that money. The other reserve that we have is the reserve for contingencies. And so because we did not utilize all of it in the prior year, it's sitting in there, so we kind of have an overage in reserves. We would not advocate using that money to take on additional ongoing expenditures. But to close the budget gap at this point, we would be able to utilize about $2 million of that to help close the budget gap. If council doesn't have objections to that, that will be one of the strategies that we would use.
Last year we had some discussion about the percentage that was in that reserve fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about what percentage we wanted in that fund.
We are at 20% now, and we do have the 20% set aside, but your reserve for contingencies is in excess of the 20%.
What is the percentage?
Well, at adoption time, we were at 20%, but through our carry forward process, in the reserve for contingency, which is not part of the 20%, we adopted $1 million. Through the month ending May, we have now $6.8 million in our reserve for contingency. And that's through the consolidation process. All of the budget cutting things that we did, we've aggregated that money in there. So we will utilize some of that throughout the year to do the things we need to do, but we will have enough reserve to be able to assist us in closing the budget gap without having to raise taxes or, you know, do any of the detrimental cutting that we had anticipated doing.
Or impact the 20%.
Or touching the 20%, that's correct.
Plus $6 million, is what I'm hearing.
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
Right, but last year we had lengthy discussions about what level of reserve we need to have on hand. And because we had discussions about, you know, we've decided that we're going to have this level of reserves. And then we even had a discussion, you know, we've made the rule, can we break our own rule? You know, we went through all that last year. So what I'm trying to figure out is, where were we, what did we say last year? Okay, this is the bottom line.
20% is the reserve that you chose. Now, council has multiple different types of reserves. So the reserve that you're speaking to specifically is your reserve for fund balance. That is a reserve that you carry forward from year to year that you operate on in the first 2 to 3 months of the fiscal year before your tax revenues start to come in.
I'm talking about reserves for hurricanes.
We do not have a percentage set aside for that.
It's in that 20%, correct?
No.
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 That 20% is your reserve for fund balance. That's your that's your operating days cash flow, the 20%.
Days of cash on hand.
Okay, I need to go back and re-listen to tapes because we had these discussions.
Right. Now, you do have the authority to use that for that type of thing. The reason that we talked about that is because above that 20%, we had $1 million. And that was where that discussion started. So would $1 million be sufficient? Should we have a hurricane? Should we have things that come up? Without having to dip into that 20% and then taking us below the 20% and jeopardizing our cash flow. Okay. So at 20%, that's giving council about 90 days of cash flow. So the question was, is 90 days sufficient? If I don't keep a dime over that, what happens if we have an event?
Right.
So we kept a certain dollar amount above that. So what I'm saying is we are now in excess of the dollar amount above that, so we can utilize some of that to erase the budget gap going forward.
And practically speaking, that 20% can be used in times of emergencies, obviously, if it's needed to be relied upon.
Sunny, in excess of the 20%, how would you say it again, how much we're gonna attempt to use if we agree?
We're anticipating the ability to use about $2 million of that without impacting our reserve ratings as far as our bond ratings and everything are concerned.
Okay.
And then, of course, once we institute the savings from our insurance renegotiations and some of the other budget cuts, we anticipate being able to close that gap and, you know, balancing out the general fund. The only other item that we haven't really discussed is employee recognition. We were trying to figure out what we could do as a thank you to employees for having held the line for a number of years. We have not had the ability to give raises. We've, you know, cut their budgets. They've been kind of doing more with less. So some of the ideas that have been floated, which I believe Mr. Brower has talked about in the past, similar to that of which the county did, where you float a one-time bonus. So it's not added to base pay. It doesn't become an ongoing expense for the city. Other ideas that have been floated is some type of additional floating holiday, an extra floating holiday or extra vacation time of some sort, are some of the ideas that we've talked about. And so we wanted to know what council's thoughts were on us exploring those and costing out some of those options.
Well, I mean, let's explore them and look at them. I mean, we're talking about days, vacation days, that type of thing. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'd like to see what our options are.
Okay.
And what about the one-time bonus? Do you have a dollar amount for that?
No, we're going to run a couple different scenarios, but we just wanted to make sure that that was a path council wanted to take before we, you know, started aggregating the data.
Do you have any ideas on other options?
We're exploring.
Yeah.
Okay. We're exploring.
We've had a few submitted, and we're looking at them for viability.
Well, let's try to bring them all back and take a look at them anyway.
Yeah, get them all at the same time.
Yeah.
See what the physical impact is.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to recap. For CRA funding, we talked about the fact that we don't have enough money to do both the parking structure and the downtown, the Midtown District. So those will be coming back before council to tell us, you know, which ones you want to see. And if you'll recall, what we did in the current year was we basically funded the ongoing things that we pay for out of the CRA, and we reserved out the rest of the dollars until a decision was made. So that is an option that council still retains, to fund your regular ongoing things that happen in the CRA, and then we can reserve out the rest of those dollars until, you know, all of the project costs are known and we have a direction on which projects we're going to do. The CIP funding is a big issue, you know, with monies running scarce at the end of 2014. When we have our capital workshop, council will see what the fund balances are in all of the different CIP funds, and we'll go through those numbers, what we're expecting to have, and what the bottom line rolls out to be at the end of 14. We talked about our general fund deficit funding, and the strategies that we're going to use, and then the employee recognition, we will bring back that information to you. And if council has no other questions, that's all I have.
Yeah, could I just ask one question? Would you go back to that millage comparison? So we're going to have the same amount of revenue, correct?
That would be the objective, yes.
Okay, and you would have to increase the ad valorem taxes to do that, correct? I mean, increase the millage rate.
Well, we will levy the rollback rate. I don't know what that rate looks like yet. And July 1 is when the property appraiser certifies the roll,
right,
and we'll have that information. I don't know what new construction looks like yet. So there's a lot of factors that have to go in. And with the values remaining similar, we might actually see a rollback rate again instead of a roll up rate.
Yeah. Okay.
We haven't seen that in a long time.
Yes,
but
we haven't seen that number yet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank
you. Okay. If no more questions, can we close this workshop so we can start council meeting?
Thank you.
Can we ask for about a 5-minute transition time to get everything set back up?
5 minutes.
Thank you.
You can ask, but you might not get it.